Well, I think that we are in that, at least in our house, but I'm guessing it probably trickles out to the rest of you as well. But we are in that part of life that we're just gutting it out. Michigan has a lot of positive, wonderful things that come with it. I will argue with you that January and February are not them. All right? To prove my point, I heard on the radio today, and I know this is going to make it harder for some of you, my wife included, I apologize to begin with. 58 out of the last 59 days have been mostly to fully cloudy. I apologized beforehand, so there's a suggestion box somewhere in church. Go ahead, feel free to put that in there. But 58 out of the last 59 days. And I mean, when I heard that, I was like, because it's just like, it's crazy. And how good does just a nice sunny day sound? And here's the thing, you know you're a Michigander. It could totally be 20 degrees, 15 degrees. It wouldn't matter. We don't care if there's snow on the ground. We don't care if it's cold. But a nice sunny day would make all the difference. And frankly, I will argue that our current cultural climate is not helping at all. And I don't know, I appreciated Jamie last Sunday school because she's like, I think Pastor Todd, all those times you've been telling us not to watch the news, there's some wisdom in that and we should probably listen to you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. But news, social media, wherever it comes from, I mean, it's just incredibly hard to get away from that. I have a confession, and I know some of you aren't Facebookers. That's fine. This week, I have unfollowed more Facebook friends than I ever have in my entire 8 years because I've had my stomach full. If you are my Facebook friend and you are posting negative political things, I will probably never see a puppy post or a baby post from you ever again because I have unfollowed you. No, I don't think I unfollowed anybody in church, so you're probably safe. But I couldn't take it because I'm just sitting there thinking, look, life is always about ups and downs, but it can't, I mean, why choose to dwell in it? Why choose to just reside in that negative? So here's my premise this morning. Just like you and I are in severe need for some light, so is our country and our culture. All right? And so we are going to look at to see what the Word says about light. And we're going to be starting in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, page 602. In the Pew Bible. And we're just going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and a thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. Now the context here, last week, if you remember, we talked about it was the end of the Babylonian captivity, where that 70 years where the people were under punishment, they were living away from home, and Nehemiah went and they started rebuilding the wall. Well, this scripture falls before that has happened. And Isaiah is actually, if you read the entire book, I mean, he's warning the people, look, it's to the point, it's coming. All right, you've ticked God off too many times. You've rode this, you've repented, you've come to him, you said we're going to do this, then you fall right back into all this negative stuff. And so God uses Isaiah to just come to his people and say, look, a hard time's coming. You are going to go through some really negative stuff. But it's not all doom and gloom, as we saw in this scripture. He still lays out that, you know what, there is hope. After the darkness, after the punishment, God's grace is still there. God's still got your back. He's still on his throne. So, yes, you're going to have to go through. I mean, it's any punishment we've ever been to, right? You know, your parents ground you for a certain amount of time. It's not fun. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Besides those of us that parents have totally blown it and said, you're grounded for the rest of your life, okay? We know even if you hear that as a child, it's not necessarily true. But so Isaiah brings hope. And so that first couple verses, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, the thick darkness, the people, but the Lord will arise among you, upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Again, as I said last week, God's word operates on different levels. In this scripture here, on one level, Isaiah is speaking to the Babylonian captivity. He knows that negative time is coming. And so he's specifically talking to the people that, look, darkness is coming. It's going to happen. We aren't dodging it at this point. God has said this is what's going to happen, but yet we have to cling to the fact that, you know what, the light is coming. On another level, we can see this. Isaiah is what? He's prophesying the coming of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of prophecy in Isaiah, but that's one of those that, again, this is one of those areas that he's saying, as mankind, all right, when Adam and Eve chose to sin against God, they put the entire human race on a trajectory of sin. And God said, you know what? I love those people, and this was not my plan, so I'm going to fix it. And Jesus Christ was that fix. And that we see that imagery of, again, the darkness of sin and the bondage of sin. And yet we see Isaiah looking into the future and saying, look, God's not done. A light is going to come. And I think on a third level, I think you can make the argument that he's prophesying about the world to come. I mean, if you read this, would any of you argue that this couldn't describe now? I mean, for darkness shall cover the earth and the thick darkness of the peoples. Why am I telling you not to watch the news? Because it's darkness. There is so much darkness. And again, we live in an instant era, and so at least, you know, Dave was praying about 100 years ago we couldn't do, you know, the hip replacements, the knee replacements, all that stuff. 100 years ago, you didn't know instantly when something bad happened on the other side of the planet. I mean, so we had insulation just by the fact that our technology wasn't so great. Now, instantly, anything bad happens. And so I think we do. In a lot of ways, there's an incredible amount of darkness. But here's the thing. Our job is not to focus on the darkness. The more important truth in the scripture here is that the Lord has risen upon you. I don't care how dark your current world looks. I don't care how dark your situation looks. God is bigger than that. And what Jesus Christ did on the cross, what? The Lord has risen upon you. Again, the original context, Isaiah is pointing that God was not going to let them hang there forever. Again, it's pointing to Jesus that he was going to raise and he was going to change all the things. But the truth still here is, even though there is darkness now, the light of God can still shine in you and through you. And we see Jesus Christ embracing this. John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I mean, this is, if you're a Christian, this is your great hope. This is salvation. You were trapped and caught in the darkness of sin at one point in your life. And at one point, God, in his mercy, offered you a hand up. Offered you to pull you out of that darkness into his light. That's what this verse is talking about here. Out of the blindness of sin into the glorious freedom of his light and his grace. And Paul expands on this in Ephesians, it's not 6, it's actually 5, 8, and 11. It says, for once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are the light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So again, we see this concept that Jesus Christ said, right? That he is the Lord of light. But Paul expands on this. We get to start seeing this idea that the intention is that we are also light. We are children of light. And we see this challenge that we are to seek and produce the fruit of light. You are to be light. But here's the thing. I will argue that being a child of light and leaving the darkness isn't always easy. Let me explain. So I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in a cave for a month. Or say that you were on one of those tours and unfortunately there's a cave-in, and you are trapped in a cave for a month. I can't imagine that, but you know what? There's let's just say there's water and food, so you're not suffering that way. But you are just trapped in that darkness for a month. And the rescuers finally come, right? And you're very, very excited. And as you come out and it's a nice sunny day, what happens to you? Your eyes are burning. There's pain. We've experienced that. You come out of a dark theater, or sometimes in that rare occasion when there's snow and that really bright sun, right? Snow blindness, you go out there and you can't do this. Well, at that point, you'd have an option, right? So human capacity is what? We like to avoid pain. So you're coming out of that cave, your eyes start hurting, you have two options, right? Number one, you can go, I'm not dealing with that pain, and you go back in the darkness, and that's where you choose to live. Otherwise, what do? You lean into the pain. You get through the pain of your eyesight. Why? Because you know there's better on the other side. Every one of you, when you came to Jesus Christ at a certain point, had to lean into the pain. Because breaking free from sin, having the Holy Spirit break that stuff in you, your pride, your sinful nature, all those things, it wasn't just cupcakes and sunshine. To break away from sin, you're going to have to go through a little bit of pain. And here's the thing. Look at that last part of that verse. And this is an ongoing thing for us. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. This is talking about your own personal life here. And expose, if you go back to the original language, it's really more like reprove, it maybe convict, rebuke. You ain't playing anymore. And see, it's a hard thing as Christians. Guess what? We're in process. I mean, if you're trying to follow Christ, you're spending regular time with him. Guess what? On a semi-regular basis, he's going to go, I love you, but you got this thing in your life. This thing, this sinful something. And it's keeping you from being everything that I intend you to be. It's keeping you from fully embracing and being transformed into what I want you to be. And we have a choice, right? Because often dealing with pain is what? It's painful. Bringing your sin and exposing it to the light is not a fun thing. Now, it's one thing, and I would argue, it's hard enough to do with God on our own, but sometimes when we play around, God goes, all right, and he exposes it to the public. That ain't fun at all. And yet there's something on the other end of that as God breaks free. And so our job is to be exposing the darkness and the sinfulness that still resides in our heart. God loves you right where you are. That's fantastic. That's a truth you can take to the bank. But he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to reflect Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was what? He was perfect. So in order to do that, you have to get real with yourself on a regular basis. You have to hold your life up and say, okay, Lord, is there sin and darkness that I need to deal with? That's not a fun prayer, because guess what? God answers it. But we are to expose that darkness. But that shining that light on our own stuff isn't all that we're called to. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I have a confession. This is one of those verses I have a love-hate relationship with. No, I don't hate the Word of God. That's not what I'm saying. This is one of those that I love, absolutely love the concept. The fact that God can use us in such a way that our lives shine so much of his love that other people are in awe of what God is and give praises to him because he sees it in us. The part I hate in it is how often do I feel like I am not doing that at all. That when someone's looking at my life, they don't see Jesus at all. They just see another schlop going through life, no difference whatsoever. And yet here, the Bible is pretty clear. It's calling us to this. I mean, think about this. Having a life that shines so much that people around you just worship. They're drawn to it. But again, if I confess, it's more the exception and not the rule. I want to be more and more like Christ. I want this to be more and more true for me and for you. But in order to do that, it means I have to expose the darkness of my heart. I mean, Isaiah called me to be radiant, but how often do we feel like we're that? And again, I think I take you back to that cave analogy, because if those times I'm shining Christ's light and I'm trying to point others to him, think about this. There are times that your life just shines and you're trying to engage and invite other people to Jesus Christ. Have you ever been called holier than thou, or, you know, that Christian thing is, that's your thing, or their life is so, they're into so much darkness that just your presence makes them uncomfortable just because they recognize that you have something in your life and part of them wants it, but then, I mean, there are those people that think that they're not good enough for God or whatever. I mean, that's a reality. If we're trying to engage people for Christ, there are going to be some of those that just, they don't want to hear about your Christianity. They don't want to deal with it. Why? Because, see, when you're living in darkness, you like to justify your behavior and you like to make yourself better than you really are. We don't want to look in the mirror because, again, exposing our own darkness means shining that light on us, and it hurts. And so as we reach out, I think we have to kind of keep that in our heads. And as we are praying for those people, we have to pray that they'd push through the pain. That as they see the light, that they don't shy away and go deeper in the cave, but they're drawn to it. I mean, that's a reality. I mean, if our light is going to shine, there are some people that are going to turn away, but we're called to it. We can't hide from it. Even if they reject it, we're still called to shine. Because I think here, when we look at this idea, when we truly radiate Jesus Christ, look at what happens. And this is back to Isaiah 3 and 4. Nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes, look around. They are all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurse's arms. Yes, at a certain point, this is about Jesus Christ. But here, if you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is in you. It is God's intention that in the darkness of this world, that his children shine. And if you lay claim to Christianity at all, then this cannot be an option. Your life has to look differently from those. And when we see that, I love this, right? That the idea, not only, I mean, frankly, most of us, I mean, if at least we get our sons and daughters and grandchildren to heaven, we're going to count that as a big plus. I mean, minimum. But here he's talking nations and kings and leaders. And often I think we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see ourselves in our own terms and we minimize the opportunity or the possibility that we have for influencing others. And again, it's ultimately not about you. It's about what? It's about the Jesus Christ that's in you. That you walk around with God's power within you. And so don't ever minimize what you can do for the kingdom. When you step up and obey, God can use you in significant ways. How many leaders throughout our course of human history have probably been impacted by Christian folk that have surrounded them? I'm sure that's one of those points. I think when we get to heaven, when we truly get to see how it all came together, we're all going to just praise God because we're going to be astounded by this fact. I mean, our world is in desperate need of light, and you're it. You're it. You are the light of God. And I think, again, we hear that and it sounds like a scary thing, but I think it seems scary only because of our own perceived inadequacies. We need to grasp hold of that truth and cling to the truth that the power of Almighty God is in you. Not just for your own edification. It's in you. You need to use it. But not only does God use it for others, again, and to positively affect the world. I love this last verse. So then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. You shall see and be radiant. Again, that great picture of God's love. He does such a mighty work in us. We can't help but radiate that to the world around us. Again, we know that picture. We've probably heard the illustration that if this room was entirely dark, I could light a birthday candle up there and you would all see it. It doesn't take much light to dispel the darkness. And you are in places that your light needs to shine. But what I really like is, your heart shall thrill and rejoice. I like it a little better in the NIV. It says, your heart will throb and swell with joy. Throb and swell with joy. Is there a person on the planet that wouldn't take that to the bank? That your life will just be throbbing and swelled with joy. Are you kidding me? This is what people want. This is what people desire. And they might not even understand how to get it. But man, when you see someone that's truly joyful, all the other junk that you're chasing in life, that's ultimately the goal that you're trying for. You want peace and joy in your life. Guess what? There's only one place to truly get that. Jesus Christ. Everything else falls empty. When we allow God's light to do its work in us and it begins to shine, as we expose the darkness that's within us and God's light burns it away, it replaces it with amazing joy. And see, and I think this is the part of the gospel that we need to share, because I think sometimes when we just, hey, you're a sinner and you're doomed to hell if you don't get your act together, right? And so we see salvation just as this fire insurance policy, and we don't get this idea that when we come to Christ, we truly allow him to be Lord of it, that it changes everything. We get this peace, we get this joy, we get this all this stuff that replaces that. And not only that, look at that. There's more. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. This is not some kind of prosperity gospel. It's pointing to not only heaven, but the fact that God wants to bless you in amazing ways. I mean, if we got out of heaven, I mean, if nothing else, if God's salvation from the cross got us out of sin and into heaven, that would be enough. But God the Father loves you so much as his child, he wants to bless you in ways that you can't even fathom. Joy, peace, purpose. Yeah, the world is filled with darkness. There are people that are drowning in it. And sometimes we sit there and we wonder why God won't step up and do his thing. Guess what he did? He gave you the light. His intention for all of us is to radiate his love. And that might look different than you and me, right? We're in different situations. I have the battle of being an intense person. I don't tend to radiate a whole lot of warm, fuzzy anything, all right? You're laughing, but you're the same, right? We are the same. I mean, that's the thing, right? We are different people. We're in different situations. And yet, as Christians, we are to radiate God's love. Don't let yourself off the hook. If Christ is in you, this is what he's called us to. The next time you're watching the news, the next time you see something and you just go, I can't believe this is happening, I am praying and asking you to look at that as a reminder of God the Father telling you, I've given you my light. Go shine it. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we are amazed by what you do for us. We are amazed by your love. You've blessed us way more than we deserve that we can understand. And Lord, in the midst of our world where we see so many places that it appears that you're not, and we shake our heads at the evil, and we shake our heads at the anger and the injustice, and yet, Lord, none of that surprises you. And you did do something about it. You sent your son to die on a cross so that we could have a new life. And that's the answer. And Lord, as your children, we confess too often we duck our heads and we question our own stuff. And yet you've called us, you've challenged us to radiate your love and to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And so for all of us, encourage us in that. Challenge us in that. Lord, we can make a difference where we are. No matter how small or insignificant we think our lives are, Lord, you have people in our lives that we can point and just be Jesus and shine Jesus to them. So for this week, for this next month, challenge us and use us in this place. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.